set.
Okay, here we go. We're going live in 3, 2, 1.
Grab your mason jars, strap on that apron. It's time for Canning with the Diva, making her mark across the globe, teaching you how to safely preserve delicious recipes. Please welcome your host, Diane Devereaux,
the Canning Diva.
Okay, here we go. We're going live in 3, 2, 1.
Grab your mason jars, strap on that apron. It's time for Canning with the Diva, making her mark across the globe, teaching you how to safely preserve delicious recipes. Please welcome your host, Diane Devereaux,
the Canning Diva.
Hey everyone, it's Diane Devereaux. I'm the Canning Diva, and you are listening to Canning with the Diva. Thank you so much for tuning in to another fun episode so that we can talk all things canning and preserving. This episode, canning venison during hunting season, is very near and dear to me. I have some venison that I've got thawing out right now in my refrigerator, and I'm excited to make some scrumptious recipes into the weekend. So while I'm sharing this knowledge and information, I too will be putting up some venison, and I'm excited to give you the recipes that I'll be making in both this episode and an upcoming episode. So be sure to save me in your podcast system so that that way you can be alerted every time I download a new podcast, because you definitely want to stay connected. I've got a lot of fun things in store. So all of you hunters out there, if you've recently bagged a big deer, or you might still be out patiently in the woods waiting for that big buck to walk by, definitely you got to pay attention. You got to listen. You got to tune in. I'm excited for you. And for those of you who may not be doing the hunting, right, but you are in the kitchen doing all the cooking and canning, I'm super excited for you as well, because this episode is going to be loaded with all kinds of tidbits and a very delicious recipe. So definitely pay attention, tune in, grab a pen and paper if you can, and definitely flag me for a second listen or three, because we're going to put a lot of solid information into this one episode. Now, if you have a deer that's already being processed, or you have a freezer full of last year's venison, you don't have to have this freshly processed and ready to go. You can actually be using this segment to learn about ways in which to thaw out what's in your freezer and utilize the older stuff so you can make room for the new. I know there's a misnomer out there that if you don't put it in a jar as soon as it's been killed, you know, it's not as fresh or as good or as safe, and that's a bunch of hogwash. So I tend to freeze the venison first, and then from there, figure out what I'm going to do with it. Sometimes I don't want it in a jar. Sometimes I want some back straps on a grill. Other times, like today, when we're going to go through a fun recipe, you know, I want to be able to thaw something out and utilize it in a recipe to later put up and heat up down the road. Actually, I have venison defrosting in my refrigerator now, so I'm pretty excited. What I will say about me is the podcast that we do together and you're tuning in, whatever we're talking about, I am making it in my kitchen as well. So I'm not just a name out there who talks about canning. I actually do it. I live and I breathe it. So I myself have some venison neck meat defrosting, and I also have a loin, actually two loins, defrosting. And when I say that, I encourage you all, when you're thawing out your venison to utilize in canning because you're trying to make room in your freezer, definitely keep it in your refrigerator while it's defrosting. I wouldn't be setting that out on the counter. You want it to take its time, and you want to give it a good, you know, 48 hours in your refrigerator to fully thaw. Okay. The other thing I want to make sure before we dive in here is that you know about what recipe we're covering. So today we are going to talk about venison steak Diane. Now, don't worry. I'm not trying to be biased here and make sure you remember my name, but I do love this recipe. This recipe is simple. It uses easy ingredients. I think you'll really enjoy its flavors. Actually, I know you'll really enjoy its flavors. And then for those of you who are going to be tuning in on a consistent basis, I will be airing an additional podcast where we focus on venison stroganoff. Very yummy stuff. Okay, so before we get into the canning and the cooking, I just want to share with you why you want to eat and can venison. A lot of you might be kind of scrunching your nose up at me right now when I say the term venison. And so I want to give you newcomers to wild game some reasons why you should be consuming venison and how healthy it is. So one of the biggest things I tell people all the time is when you compare venison to beef, venison is 95 cents per pound versus $4.23 per pound. I mean, that right there is a huge 78% cost savings, which to many is a very popular reason to eat venison. You know, plus a deer, you know, it's going to yield about 80 pounds. So now you've got 80 pounds of meat, you know, at 95 cents per pound in your freezer and on your pantry shelf. So that right there is a very good reason. But I think the main reason many of us enjoy venison is it's delicious. Okay, stop scrunching your nose. I know you're, those of you who have tried it before might be looking at me like I'm nuts or looking at your phone like you're nuts, right? However you're listening. I'm not nuts. I actually do love the flavor of venison. And for those of you who may have tried it once and you don't like it, I highly encourage you to give it another shot. Likely what happened is it wasn't prepared correctly. And if you don't know how to cook venison in the kitchen, it could be very off-putting. There is a bit of technique to it, and I'll share some of that today. But please definitely don't give up on venison. Give it another shot because you are missing out. Another very important reason to consume venison is it's extremely healthy for you. Deer meat is naturally free range and organic, right? We don't have them cooped up in pens. You know, venison is very lean and it's much higher in protein and lower in saturated fats when compared to beef. And it has such a lower fat content when compared to beef that it actually has been shown to lower cholesterol. Plus, it has lower cholesterol content than turkey and chicken. So there's a lot of reasons just from a fat standpoint in wanting to consume venison. Actually, the more venison you eat, the better your body will be able to regulate its blood cholesterol levels. So for those of you that are struggling to keep your cholesterol down, but you still love your red meat, making the switch from beef to venison would be very beneficial to you. Another reason is venison is loaded with iron, and iron gives us energy. And for those of you that might be a bit anemic, having that natural source of iron in healthy meat like venison would help prevent anemia. So definitely keep that one in mind as well. But honestly, I think the best part about venison, maybe not so much from a weight loss standpoint or even anemia, is it is loaded with B vitamins. And our B vitamins that are readily available to us in food sources have been proven to reduce the risk of strokes and heart attacks, heart disease, and it regulates your metabolism. So if you already feel pretty healthy and fit and you just want to change up your diet a bit and continue down that healthy path, I highly suggest you add venison to your diet. Another popular reason why people eat and enjoy venison is they know they're doing something good for their community because they are controlling the deer population. Hunting is a very economical and practical way to control the overpopulation, which also will keep us safer when we're driving on the road. It prevents an overpopulation, meaning you're not seeing them run out every 50 yards driving down the road, especially if you're like me and live out in the country. I know most of us tuning in can raise our hand and say, yep, I've smacked a deer with my car or my truck. You know, my goodness, my son, his first year driving, I think he hit three deer and they were all close to home, which they say is common. Accidents happen close to home, right? Well, within his first summer of getting his driver's license going into the winter. So what is that? 4 or 5 months, he had hit three deer. So yeah, to keep this overpopulation down, hunting is definitely doing a service to all of us because some of those accidents can be quite deadly. Another too, with regards to the overpopulation is by keeping the herd thinned out and not allowing an overpopulation, it'll help prevent deer from destroying their natural habitat. You know, when there's too many deer and not enough habitat to go around, it's going to get ruined, and that's actually going to adversely impact other species. So we are doing some good for our community and our area by making hunting and eating venison a part of our yearly or daily lives. If you want to learn more reasons why venison might be, you know, the way to go and reasons why to switch over from beef to venison or just starting to incorporate venison more into your diet, head over to goodgamehunting.com. They have a list of 27 reasons why, and they have some really cool infographics that might appeal to you and give you some new ways in which to incorporate venison into your diet. Okay, so let's go back to that nose scrunching when I mentioned that venison is delicious. Well, let's talk about what it actually does taste like. Now, for the part, individuals usually, well, they either love or hate it, right? But the venison specifically, most first-time consumers, they're turned away because of the gaminess or a musky flavor. And much like other meat, venison's flavor is determined by what the animal consumes itself, right? What does it eat? Well, a wild game, or as we are saying, deer venison, wild implies you don't really have much say in what they eat because they roam and they eat, you know, where they find food. And you definitely don't want to be raising them in your backyard because if you're out in the country like me, you're not going to have many hostas left and you certainly won't have a burning bush to admire in the fall. So when they're out roaming around, they are going to consume things like grass and acorns. And everything that they eat is going to then flavor their meat. So an animal that consumes mostly corn, okay, just like a cow, you know, beef cattle, that is going to lead to a more milder flavor. That corn's going to fatten them up, and you're not going to really taste much to that meat. But like what I was describing earlier, depending on what the wild game, or in this case, the deer is eating on, is going to indicate what the meat is going to taste like. So if the deer is consuming acorns, that's going to give it that gamey flavor. For instance, mule deer, they feed on sage plants. And so I bet you can guess what their meat is going to taste like. It is going to have a very thick, robust sage flavor. And I don't know about you, but a little bit of sage goes a long way. So sometimes that meat then could be very off-putting if you don't like sage, of course, or if you can't find ways in which to pull that excess flavor out of the meat and then use it in either canning or cooking. So based on where you live, you could be anywhere in the United States or across the globe. When you are hunting wild game and specifically venison, just be cognizant of where you're hunting because where you reside or where they roam is more than likely going to, you know, replicate what their meat tastes like. Now, there are ways in which to properly prepare the meat so that way you're getting a better outcome. So let's talk about that for a second. To properly prepare your venison for eating or for canning, many will soak their venison for an hour before using it in a meal or before placing it in a jar. There's two ways you may do so. The first is creating a salt brine. So what you'll want to do is you'll take 1 tablespoon of canning salt for every 1 quart of water. You will mix it well to dilute it, and then you'll soak your venison for 1 hour. After it soaks, you'll rinse it before using it. If salt is something you need to steer away from, okay, because you are on a low sodium diet or it's just not something you'd rather, palate, you don't want to taste it, even though you rinse it, you're going to have a touch of it. If you'd prefer, others like to soak their venison in cow's milk. So the same theory goes, you just cover your venison in enough cow's milk so that it's completely submerged, and you let that soak for 1 hour, and then you rinse it before using it. So now both have been known to work well, but whether it's a brine soak or a milk soak, is they tend to pull some of that excess flavor based on the deer's diet out of the meat so that you have a more milder flavor. And it removes that quote-unquote gamey taste. All right, now, what is a delicious recipe without all that gamey flavor? So that is what I'm excited to talk to you about today. For me, my favorite venison recipe is venison steak Diane. And like I said earlier, I'm not trying to be biased because it has my name in the recipe. I actually do love the flavors. The truth is the brandy sweetens the venison, okay? And so while it's in that pressure canner, it tenderizes the meat. And then I love how the Dijon mustard, the tomato paste, everything has a really nice, wholesome flavor to it. And it makes it very scrumptious, whether you're eating it as is or you want to use it with a variety of side dishes. So let's get into a bit more about how to prepare venison for canning, and then we'll dive into that venison steak Diane recipe. Okay, so because venison is a leaner meat, I have a variety of tips I want to share with you before we get into mixing additional ingredients up with that venison, because you can do some unique things just with venison alone. Now, again, because venison is leaner, you're going to want to add some type of fat, whether it be olive oil, lard, bacon grease is a very delicious addition. You want to give it some level of fat because you don't want it drying out because of it being cooked. Okay. Anything that gets overcooked, we all know it's going to turn to shoe leather, and we don't want that. Now, the benefit of using a pressure canner is you have a better chance of tenderizing it than you do the opposite. You certainly want to make sure you add a bit of fat, however, because no matter, if we're pressure cooking, that can be quicker because it's going right to your table, right? So that we can control the tenderness. We can probably do it a little bit lower temperature for a shorter period of time to get the outcome we want. But because we're pressure canning for long-term food storage, we have to expose that meat to a certain temperature for a certain amount of time, which without that fat, venison could very likely get tough if we don't give it that added boost, if you will. Another thing I want you to think about too, when you're creating recipes using venison, sometimes the recipe may call for you to brown the meat first, which is very delicious. It's going to give it a very robust flavor. It helps you create some level of gravy or broth using the various bits that you're going to deglaze from the pan. However, I do know that many of you prefer to just simply toss the raw meat in a jar. So no matter how the recipe is structured, do know that you can interchange browning or just using raw meat, because there isn't really a wrong way to do it. It may affect the flavor, but I know some of you who have perfected cooking with venison, you may have also then perfected, how you want to can it and what you expect from that flavor. So I would never pigeonhole you to doing it just one way. All I ask is that if you're going to put raw meat in a jar with no water, give it a certain level of fat, or toss it maybe with some olive oil or some ghee, and then go ahead and place that in a jar just to avoid it drying out. Another fun thing that I often tell individuals to do is, instead of just adding water to their venison in a jar, add a beef broth, or use that gravy recipe, which is for canning, utilizing clear gel, which is the only approved thickening agent for home canning. You could take your beef broth, heat that up in a pan, whisk in your clear gel, and then cover your venison with that gravy. And the beauty with clear gel is it's not going to thicken until it cools. So as it is hot in that jar, processing in the pressure canner, it's not going to thicken up. It's going to stay nice and fluid, so that way you can ensure your jar contents are getting a thorough heat transfer. So that's another thing to keep in mind. Instead of just having, you know, meat in a jar, which is totally fine, you can get creative and use beef broth or make your gravy using clear gel. Okay, so some math I want to leave you with as well. For those of you that have a bunch of venison you'd like to just get in jars, you don't want to do anything fancy, you just want to get the meat in there, and you want to hot pack it so that way you can utilize the meat as you see fit down the road. I'm going to give you some math to help you prepare for your yield. So approximately 14 pounds of venison will yield 14 pint jars or 7 quarts, because you're going to use approximately 1 pound of meat in every pint jar and 2 pounds in every quart. Now, it's best advised to hot pack venison in a broth or a gravy, but like I said earlier, you can pack it raw with or without water. However, when you're canning ground venison, it is definitely advised to cook it first, just as you would ground beef. You may also add a tablespoon of lard or bacon grease to every pound of ground venison to increase its fat content to avoid it toughening up during processing. Now, venison processes at the same time and temperature as beef, okay, which is always going to be 10 psi for a weighted gauge canner, 11 psi for a dial gauge canner. And then rule of thumb is always going to be 75 minutes for pints and 90 minutes for quarts. And then, of course, those of you that are in higher elevations, you will have to adjust your PSI according to your elevation. So if you need a guide, you may look in any one of my cookbooks. I've given you an elevation guide. You can also find a canning elevation guide online. So you can go online, Google it. I know Ball has one, National Center for Home Food Preservation has one, the USDA has one. Basically, the higher you go, the higher the PSI must be. All right, now for the good stuff. Let's get into this delicious venison steak Diane recipe. For those of you that have my cookbook, this is located in my book called The Complete Guide to Pressure Canning. It's on page 150. Okay, this recipe is going to make approximately 4 quarts or 8 pints. Let's see here. With your prep, cooking, and processing time, you're looking at setting aside about 2 hours and 40 minutes to complete this recipe. Upwards of 3 hours if you're going to be preserving this in quarts. So make sure you set aside some ample time so that you can get everything you want accomplished with this recipe. Now, of course, if you're doubling it, you're going to want to add a good 40 minutes onto that overall time because you have a bit more prep work. All right, let's go through the ingredients list. You're going to start with 3 tablespoons of olive oil divided, 3 to 5 pounds of venison backstrap or tenderloins. You're going to want to have those cut in about 2, 2.5 inch medallions. 1 teaspoon of coarse sea salt, 1/2 teaspoon of ground black pepper, 1 cup of brandy, 1 cup diced sweet onions, 4 garlic cloves minced, 2 shallots finely chopped, 3 tablespoons of Worcestershire sauce, 2 tablespoons of Dijon mustard, 4 cups of beef broth, and 3/4 cup of tomato paste, which is also 6 ounces. All right, so now for the instructions. In a large skillet, starting with 1 tablespoon of oil, brown the venison in batches on medium-high heat until all the venison is lightly browned. So you're looking at about 3 to 5 minutes per batch. The goal here is not to cook the meat. So the quicker in the skillet, the better. As you're working each batch, be sure to dash a bit of sea salt and pepper onto each batch until you are completed with the meat. As you're doing each batch, add 1 additional tablespoon of olive oil to make sure that you are well coating all of the venison. Once all of the batches have been browned, remove them and place them in a bowl. Now, in that same skillet, I want you to add the brandy and turn the heat to high. What we're going to do is deglaze that skillet. So as the heat is going through, stir that brandy around, use a wooden spoon or some type of spatula, and scrape all the bits off the bottom of the pan. Once that's done, turn off the heat and set it aside. In a large stock pot, add the browned venison and all of the deglazed drippings from the skillet. Add the onion, garlic, shallots, Worcestershire sauce, and Dijon mustard, and mix well. Bring the contents to a boil on medium-high heat for 5 minutes. Whisk together the beef broth and the tomato paste, and then add it to the stock pot. Return the stock pot to a boil for an additional 5 minutes, being sure to mix well. Now, with a slotted spoon, fill each hot jar with 3/4 full of venison. Once your jars are 3/4 full each, I want you to ladle the hot cooking liquid over the venison, being sure to leave a full 1 inch headspace. Remove any air bubbles and add additional liquid if necessary to maintain that 1 inch headspace. Now, of course, the Canning Diva is always going to tell you to wipe your jar rims with a washcloth dipped in vinegar. Vinegar is a natural bacteria killer, and it will get rid of any greasy residue on that jar rim. You have your lids and rings on. Go ahead and place those jars into your pressure canner. And according to whatever pressure canner you may be using, go ahead and allow for the proper amount of time to vent. Most often than not, it is 10 minutes of venting time. And then you put your weighted gauge onto the vent. If you have a dial gauge canner, you're going to want to process this at 11 PSI. If you have a weighted gauge canner, you're going to want to process this at 10 PSI. Now, depending on your elevation, of course, you're going to want to make sure that you increase that PSI accordingly. So make sure you consult a elevation guide to know what your PSI is required. And then you're going to process your quart jars for the 90 minutes, and you're going to process your pint jars for 75 minutes. And then my biggest tip to all of you when you're pressure canning, once you, you go through the processing phase, you allow your canner to get down to 0 pounds of pressure naturally, remove that lid once it's safe to do so, and allow the jars to sit in the canner for an additional 10 to 15 minutes. This allows them to slightly cool. So that way, when you go to remove them from the canner, you are not accidentally siphoning out some of the liquid. See, when molecules get very hot, they get very fast. They move, they're active. And if we disrupt that vacuum process while it's taking place because things are cooling, we might be forcing some of the liquid out of the jar. And when doing so, we could possibly put ourselves in a position for the lid to not seal. So go ahead and let your jars rest for about 10 to 15 minutes before putting them onto a cutting cutting board to cool. And your lid should seal within that first 3 to 5 hours of cooling time. If they have not sealed, during cooling, if they have not sealed, go ahead and pop them in the refrigerator and then eat those jars within a week. Those that have sealed, usually I wait until the next day or at least a good solid 8 hours. And then I remove the rings and I wash the jars and dry them and label them and then store them. So you may do the same. Okay, now the best part, how to eat and enjoy it. So in order for it to be a true steak, Diane, you definitely want to make sure that when you're serving this, you're adding your heavy whipping cream. So if you are bringing a quart jar to the stovetop, go ahead and put that into a saucepan and then add 1/4 cup of heavy whipping cream and mix it well. Now you want to make sure that you're heating it through, but you don't want to boil it. You don't want that cream to curdle. You basically want to bring it to a nice, just a gentle simmer. Maybe cook it for about 3 minutes so that way you can ensure you've got a well-blended cream. And then you can eat it as is, or you may serve this alongside any vegetable or starch. You could serve it on top of roasted garlic mashed potatoes. That's probably one of my favorite ways. You can have buttered noodles on the side or brown rice. There's really no wrong way to eat this. Heck, there's been times I've just popped some biscuits in the oven and served this just alongside biscuits. You know, anything coming from our pantry that we've home canned is going to be far better and healthier for us than driving through any drive-through or stopping at a restaurant. So the beauty of having a ready-made meal on your pantry shelf is just, there's so many countless things that just get me excited about, you know, why we do this. Not to mention, you're going to love it. It's absolutely delicious. Well, I hope I've given you some really good tips and ideas on how to utilize venison, whether it's this hunting season or you have some venison still in your freezer. I hope I've given you some good math and some tips so that you can plan accordingly. And then, of course, a delicious recipe that you can enjoy with your family and friends. Thank you so much for tuning in. I look forward to our next episode together. But until then,
thank you for listening. Be sure to tune in next week for another episode of Canning with the Diva. For tips, recipes, and techniques, please visit us online at canningdiva.com.